You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
But today we're all, at times, Pharisees. Can y'all admit to that? Yeah. So this sermon's for everybody. Because at times, we're going to be a Pharisee. And I just want 3 points. It's one of these good Baptist sermons, 3 points. I want you guys to really clue into this week. So hang with me, Matthew chapter 23, the first few verses. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to the disciples, saying, "The scribes and Pharisees have seated themselves in Moses' chair of authority as the teachers of the law." This was important because Moses was the man. "So practice and observe everything they tell you, but do not do as they do." How do you like that when Jesus says that? They tell you to do this. That's good. Do it. But now don't do what they do. You follow me? What did he say, do what they tell you to do? The law. They observe the law. They keep the law. You do that. Then he says, but now don't do what they do. And now he goes on to what they do. Does this make sense? Pharisees look good. Pharisees actually teach pretty good stuff. But he says, concentrate on the law. Do what they say. But now, here's the things I don't want you to do. Let's go on verse, are we at 4? 3.5. "For they preach things but do not practice them. The scribes and Pharisees tie heavy loads that are hard to bear and place them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not lift a finger to make them lighter. They do all their deeds to be seen by men. For they make their phylacteries, or their teflon, wide and make them conspicuous and make their tassels long." Now this teflon, these were 4 little rolls of scrolls from the Old Testament, and they had put them around their arms, kind of showing off a little bit. Also, he says, notice how they dress. They dress to be seen. Everything that they do is to be seen from the outside. And they run around with the scriptures on their sleeves. You ever hear that expression? He's wearing it on his sleeves. You know where that came from? Huh. And Jesus says they act a certain way. They put out a certain thing, but inside they're not. Just have the word of God on their sleeves, but they don't follow through with that. Does this make sense? Years ago, I knew a guy. He would carry his scripture everywhere he went. Great guy, wonderful guy, but he would carry the word of God everywhere he went. He was one of these that he was a worker in one of the factories, got saved, and one of those 180 degree turnaround. I mean, God miraculously saved him, and he started carrying his Bible. There was one time that he got into an argument, to a fight with another believer. They were both pastors, and I remember going to his office one day and talking to him about, "You're having a lot of issues with another pastor on the other side of town. You two need to sit down and make this right, according to Matthew 18 and Matthew 5 and other places." He said, "Absolutely not." He said, "I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to coach us into, I'm not going to do it." That crescendoed to the point where he said, "I know what the word of God says, and I ain't doing it." And I said, "Brother, go to Matthew 18 and just tear that word of God out. Why are you carrying around a Bible so that all can see, but there's points in the Bible you don't believe and you don't trust and you're not going to live by?" Those Pharisees had the word of God on their sleeves. "Look, here it is. Look how great I am. you don't have it on your sleeves, I got it on mine. But they didn't follow through. And Jesus is saying they're worthless because it's here. I want you to see it when I want you to see it. But inside, I don't really trust it. I don't really live by it. That's a sickness we have today in our church. We look good on the outside, but inside we're filthy. Amen? Is there any testimony to that? I'll testify. Every day I feel like my insides don't match my outside. Something you got to continually work on. Amen?
Amen?
We're all in this together, guys. Let's go on. Verse 8. They love the place of distinction and honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogue. Where? Those that are close to the platform. How come no one wants to sit close to the platform? You three are the... Yeah, that's right. Facing the congregation. Not only do they want to be up at the front, they want to turn and face the congregation. Why? Because they're honoring God? No, they're honoring themselves. Can you imagine the trumpet blowing and maybe they walk down, they've got the scriptures on their shoulder, they got the nice tassels. Maybe they're walking like the wedding march, you know. And they get down to the front. Maybe they turn around and give one of those judgmental kind of looks. Don't you all wish you could be like us? And kind of sit down. Yeah. Yeah. They face the congregation to be greeted with respect in the marketplace. Now we're going not just to the church. Now we're out wherever. In the marketplace. And public forums and have people call them rabbi. But do not call them rabbi or teacher, for one. Do you notice that one is capitalized? Deity. One. Jesus. God. One is your teacher. And you are all equally brothers. Do not call anyone on earth who guides you spiritually your father. For one, again, is your father who is in heaven. Do not let yourselves be called leaders or teachers. For one is your leader or teacher, the Christ. But the greatest among you will be their servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be raised to honor. But woe, judgment is coming to you, self-righteous scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven in front of people. For you do not enter yourselves, nor do you allow those who are in the process of entering to do so as well. Hate that last verse. It's verse 13. The reason I shouldn't say I hate it. It wakes me up in the middle of the night and drops me down in the middle of the day. Do you know why? It says when you're a Pharisee, even though you don't really mean it, you sometimes hinder people from coming to know the Lord. Do you see that? You're not going to do it yourself, but if you're not going to, you're not going to let other people do it either. I've talked about this two or three times. Billy Graham, when he was a young man, made sure that his whole life reflected Christ in the way he dealt with money, different sex, the way he dealt with the public. He was never had any charges brought against him. Later in life, he said, the greatest worry I have is that I would bring dishonor on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone hear this? As a Pharisee, I have the ability to keep people out of the kingdom of heaven. Y'all hear that? Oh, doesn't that distract you? Don't be a Pharisee. Three things now about the Pharisees. Pharisees show a lack of forgiveness and mercy. There's a lack of forgiveness and mercy. Pharisees choose preference over principle. And finally, Pharisees always have an unteachable spirit. They're always right. It's hard to cure a Pharisee. Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 through 13. Jesus says, the Pharisees, you guys aren't just sick. You think you're healthy. I think we said this a couple of weeks ago. It's one thing to know that you're sick and need a doctor. It's another thing to think that you're healthy and therefore you don't need a doctor. The Pharisees didn't even know it. They thought they were healthy, but they weren't. Go back to verse 4. The scribes and Pharisees tie up heavy loads that are hard to bear, place them on men's shoulders, and they themselves will not lift a finger to make them lighter. They do all their deeds to be seen by men, for they make their Teflon wad. Again, do you wear your scriptures? Do you wear your religious life? Do you wear your relationship with God away from your heart? One more time. Away from your heart and in your hands, on your shoulder. Do you wear your Christian life with what you say rather than who you be? Are you more interested in what people see when they look at you on the outside than what they know about you on the inside? The Pharisees worked so hard to make this stuff look good, and they didn't work at all in this stuff. Now, when I'm more concerned with the outside appearance of myself, I am more concerned with the outside appearance of you. I lose the fact that in my heart, God is my judge. My walk with Him is the most important thing in my life. I lose that. And I start looking at the things I'm doing, and I start looking at the things you're doing. All of a sudden, mercy is out the door. Judgment comes. Not judgment from the heart, judgment from my actions and my deeds. And how are you shaping up with what I'm doing? Oh boy, I'll pick on Bob since you love it when I pick on you. I sure hope I'm doing better than Bob. Or Bob didn't handle that situation the way I would have handled it. Pick anyone in the church. Put their name in there. When you start looking at the outside appearances and what you do rather than who you are, you're going to start comparing yourself and judging other people. And by the way, pretty soon you're going, I'm not that bad. Oh, there's one or two that might be better than me, but I sure am a lot better than these other folks. Mercy's gone. It's restored with judgments, warnings. And that's never the good part. I go on to the next slide. Somewhere I've got, our God is the Lord of the second chance. Our God is the Lord of the second chance. Sometimes our fellowships become churches of the first strike. All right, here's the question. How can you ensure that you're not a Pharisee? How can you ensure that you're not a Pharisee? Woo! One more time, real loud. Yeah, what do we call that? Repent. Repent. This first point, they show a lack of forgiveness and mercy. What's that attitude toward? It's toward other people. My relationship with God should reflect my relationship with each other. If I have a problem loving you, I guarantee you there's a problem with me loving my Lord. If I can't forgive you, there's got to be a problem with the forgiveness I feel from the Lord. It's a biblical principle. The way God treats me, I must treat you. Y'all with me? So when I have issues with you, probably have issues here. I need to repent, get back to ground zero, get with my Lord. Amen? The enemy sitting on your shoulder, and every time you think, I need to get back, he's saying, no, it's the other person. The other person's wrong. The other person's crazy. You're better than he is. You tell him how good you are. Oh, and the Lord is saying, please repent. Please repent. Whew. Pretty good so far? First point. Second point. Pharisees choose preference over principles. Look at verse 6. They love the place of distinction and honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues those on the platform near the scrolls of the law facing the congregation to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and public forums. They love to be seen. I want to be called Rabbi. This morning, right after Sunday school, I was running around over there and I ran into David Butler. And without even telling him what I was preaching on or anything else, he said, "Why don't you ask this question in church?" I was going to do it. Bob, you were there. I was going to do it at the very first. Want to do it now. Why did the Pharisees come to church? Not to worship God. Be seen. David Butler's question that I'm going to relay to you this morning. As you come to worship, what are you thinking about? When you got out of the car, when you walked in, when you came and sat down, as you were singing the songs, as you saw the graduates and all the work they've done, what's going through your mind? Are you more concerned with worshiping God and honoring Him, laying down yourself for what He would have you do? Or are you more concerned about what you're going to eat? Hope I don't run into that guy, whoever it is. What are you more concerned with? Is it you or is it our Lord? How did you come to worship today? How did I come to worship today? Sometimes it's hard. It's almost as if the enemy is trying to wreck our relationship with God as we're driving to the church. There's traffic lights, slow cars. It's hot. Come on, let's have some more excuses. There's a million things to take us off of our walk with God as we're coming to church. Shoot, sometimes it's easier to have a walk with God first thing in the morning. Nothing's happened yet. You get to wake up and put your Bible right there. You can read a few verses and everything's fine. But during the middle of the day, guys, listen to me. It's the middle of the day when He wants to be tight with you as you're going through your stuff. Next week, as you come to worship, be thinking about, why am I coming here to worship? It's my duty. Maybe I'll get a business contact. It's the thing to do. Or is it because you want to worship God? You want to glorify and honor Him. Pharisees choose preferences over principles. Pharisees more apt to say, I'd rather do this than God says in His Word, we need to do this. By the way, over the last year, we've done this vision clinic with the church. When we got the new vision together, one of the ground rules that we had was as we talk in the vision clinic process, as we argue in the vision clinic process, guys, what was the one thing that we kept saying over and over? You must have a biblical reason or rationale for what you're about to say. You don't just say, I don't like this, I don't like that, I think we should do whatever. The first question out of the mouth is, where'd you find that in Scripture? How did God lead you to that? Where did you get that? Y'all with me? Let that be how you conduct yourself in life. Why am I making this decision? Did God tell me to do this? Well, God doesn't speak to me. Well, then you need to get with Him in the morning. You need to start talking to Him. You need to start letting Him share with you His will and align yours with His. A Pharisee doesn't understand the difference between biblical principles and preferences. A Pharisee doesn't understand the difference between personal preference and biblical principles. Do you know why? He makes them up. I don't need a God if I can make up my own principles and be my own God. Everyone follow me? When the Word of God, when God tells you to do something, He's telling you to do it. You don't have to interpret that. You don't have to figure it out. You have to say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Bible's full of this. Oh, remember Jesus in John 14 and 15, over and over, if you love me, keep my commandments, do what I say. If you don't love me, you won't do my commandments. So if you're confused with this, how do I know what God wants me to do? Get in the Word every day. Pray. And part of prayer is voicing prayers, but pray prayers of alignment. Lord, show me where you want to go. Show me what you want me to do. And not just, Lord, give me, give me, give me. But the other part of prayer is be quiet. Let Him speak back to you. Let Him use your day as you're walking through your day to show you great principles that He wants you to follow. I put some principles and preferences up there. If you've got them, that list, it's really good. Principles. Look up there. The Word of God is accurate and true. That's a biblical principle. I've heard a lot of people, though, talk several times. Yeah, but the New Testament's more important than the Old Testament. No. No, it's all the Word of God. From page 1 to page 900. Another preference or principle, being truthful. What do we like to say? Be nice. If you can't say anything nice about someone, don't say anything at all. But we know that when we are irritated, when our friends, when our fellow Christians, when we have an issue with them, what does the Bible say? Go and work it out. Go and work it out. Talk to them. The enemy is sitting on your shoulder saying, be nice. Be nice. Don't say anything. But there's an issue. There's a problem. I remember talking to a group one time, a coaching group, and they were talking about this issue with being nice and or being truthful. And as I was talking, some of you know that I'm a cyclist. I like to ride the bike. A bicycle, not the Harley, but the bicycle. I know. Just emasculated myself. I said, on the road, lots of times people will be nice. I'm going this way and someone's turning this way and they'll let me go first. Or they'll stop at a green light to let me go and all that. I don't want you to be nice. I want you to be right. I'm thinking you're going to go at the green light. So I'm preparing to do that. And the guy behind me and the guy behind him. Don't be nice. Be righteous. Follow Scripture. Y'all get this, right? Because there's so many times I'm thinking this guy in front of me should be driving like this because this is the law. This is what we're supposed to do. But instead, he wants to be nice, and now I'm in trouble. And the guy behind me didn't see it either. And boy, I'm about to get hit. In Scripture, do what the Scriptures say. Be righteous. By the way, when you're righteous, you are being as nice as you ever possibly can be. Amen? Last point. A Pharisee has an unteachable spirit. Yowzers. Verse 6 or 7, do not be called rabbi or teacher, for one is your teacher, and you are all equally brothers. Pharisees love to be called rabbi. They would call each other that as they walked through the halls, as they saw each other on the street. They liked that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. If you have your Bibles, need to turn there. This is a very important verse. And I'll end with this. 1 Corinthians 2, 13 through 14. This is the end of Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. That was a very difficult church. They had a lot of issues, a lot of problems. They had a lot of the world in them, in that church. And so Paul, through the first five or six chapters, very, very strong. He's strong throughout the whole book. But in chapters first couple of chapters, he's extremely strong. And this is verse 13 and 14 of 1 Corinthians 2. And we impart this in words, and not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. He didn't say throwing spiritual truths out to those who are carnal or those who are not spiritual. He said giving spiritual truths out to those who are spiritual. What does that mean? He said, for you to receive what God wants to receive, be at one with Him. Be at one with Him. Don't expect that you don't have a walk with God and then He's just going to lay some good stuff on you. It just doesn't work like that. You be with Him. Spend time with Him. Set aside time during the day to read, to pray, to be with our Lord Jesus. You'll be amazed at what He will reveal to you. Let's continue on. The natural person does not accept the things that are the things of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. I am always amazed at when God speaks and when God directs and when God reveals what we should do, how many, either individually or as a church, how many of us say, no, I would do something entirely different. I'm reminded back to when Jesus looked at Peter and said, you're going to deny me. And he says, no, Lord. And again, how you can't say that. You can't say those two words together. You can't say no, master. No, boss. You can't do that. What do you say before you say the word boss? Yes. You're in charge, right? You can't say no, master. I'm doing what I'm going to do. He's not your master. You are. I'm always amazed in myself how many times I know the direction to go and I'm going, oh man, do I really want to? Isn't there a better way? Can I figure this out to make it nicer? We've done these vision clinics, more than 200 times all over the world. It's amazing. And when you see God work in a body of people, and like at Sabino Road Baptist Church, let me use them as an example. And God works mightily. And for a year, we seek His will and His alignment and all. He gives us a vision for the church. It's incredible. And everyone believes, man, God has given this direction to it. It's almost unbelievable when people say, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think I know best. I've even had people at times say, I've got the gift of discernment, and I would know. I'm thinking, man, 30 people on a vision team and 200 people in attendance voted on it twice and thought that God was leading them to do this, but I have the gift of discernment. Don't be a Pharisee. Now, I know most of you, and you know me, so this goes both ways. If I know you, I'm telling you, you ain't God, and I ain't either. I don't want to be a Pharisee that knows better than God, because I don't. And you don't. I want to be a believing, righteous Christian that follows God. Amen? We all have the possibility of being a Pharisee this week. Let's don't. Let's get in the Word today. Let's get in the Word tomorrow. Let's put Him first in our lives. Let's clear the schedule in our lives at times and put Him in it, you know, and follow His leading. Amen? Father, we love you and thank you so much for your message today. Ask that you give us those opportunities this week that would remind us back of this message and what we need to do in our personal life. Father, I ask that you bless this time of invitation, bless the time this afternoon with the vision team and the search team. May you be evident, real, show us the direction that you'd have us to go. We ask these things in your name. Amen.